L-E-T-E-N-P-C.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, our third and final live right here on this opening day of a new week. It is a Monday morning on the early line. He is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One final hour to get you set for this huge Monday night across the sports landscape. It is postseason party time, folks. We've got a doubleheader into round number two tonight in the NBA playoffs. We will preview both games. First, inside Madison Square Garden, it's game number one between the Knicks and the Pacers. Then it's already game number two of round two tonight in Denver with the Nuggets in an 0-1 hole against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We'll have the prop perspective from Tom Vecchio. We'll preview this Monday around Major League Baseball. Some Stanley Cup playoff action as well. What a third and final hour on this Monday.
It's nice here. By the way, in the Northeast this weekend, Ben, rain in the forecast, but sunny in the studios because of so much things that we have to get to, which does include Major League Baseball. We have some afternoon action in Philadelphia today, but we are focused on the NBA tonight. Doubleheader time. By the way, like, best bets have been hitting, but you know me. I like to get down on a couple parlays here, which include, you know, a lot of three-point shots being made. Oh, for my last four on those parlays, so maybe I can break through tonight where somebody wants to make some three-point shots for me tonight. We'll see if that happens. Yeah.
Well, listen, we love parlays, right? But there's a reason they have long odds because they are unlikely. But just one hit during playoff time, especially, it makes you feel alive and it gives you hope and momentum moving deeper into the postseason. A great question for the people out there, DRS, as well, to start off this third hour, an intriguing debate in our FTP poll. So let's get to it. Right now, if your team was to make the playoffs, how would you rather they lose a playoff series? Of course, that's going to be disappointing just first and foremost, but would you rather never even have a shot and lose in a clean four-game sweep or get to a game seven, have all of the expectation only to have your heart ripped out late in that seventh and final game, but at least to be alive for the journey? That was the question in Fade the Public. Ah, the great debate. You could take it to an individual game, lose on a buzzer beater in the closing seconds, or get blown out, or here in a playoff series overall. Which way would you prefer your team to lose in the playoffs? A four-game sweep or close in game number seven? I'm surprised by these public results. Nearly 67% of our Fade the Public poll at Sports Grid on Twitter is saying close in game number seven. Not the way I voted. Which way did you go, DRS?
I voted close in game number seven. They have to take a look from a fan perspective and a player perspective here. And here's the reason why. From the fandom here, we enjoy sports. We enjoy rooting on our teams. The more games that are meaningful, the more fun you're going to have. Now, granted, let's just say if it was like in the NFL and it's a one game in the Super Bowl. Well, I was devastated when the Eagles lost to the Kansas City Chiefs because the way they lost that here. But if we take a look at a seven-game series, let's just say in baseball, basketball, hockey, whatever it would be, as a fan, I wouldn't mind it. You go seven games, you lose in overtime in game number Montgomery 7. That is going to be unbelievable, devastating. But you have to look back on how much fun that series yep. was and all the momentum and the fun that you had moving forward. Now, from a player's perspective, to be honest, if you're taking a look, I probably would rather get swept in four games. Now, legacy, oh, you got swept. Yeah, I understand that. But I don't know how you recover sometimes from some of these tough losses, particularly in a championship moment. Now, even if it wasn't a seven-game series and just a singular event yeah. like an NFL, you know, championship game or a college football championship game, can you imagine being the player out there that, let's just say, you know, you had a 47-yard field goal like Scott Norwood did back in the day for the Buffalo Bills. He makes that. He is a legendary hero in Buffalo. But if he misses it, you don't think every single day of that guy's life he's going to think about missing that kick? As a fan, technically, we do get upset over that stuff, but our lives moves on because you're only a fan and you're cheering through, you know, the conduit of a TV and being in that fan base. But from the players themselves, I'd rather be nowhere near a close finish where I was the impactful guy, where it went the opposite direction. But from a fan, give me the close game seven. I'll enjoy it because why? I probably had fun during those seven games.
I think from the athlete, player, and coach perspective, anybody actively involved in the game, your legacy way more defined by what happens in a potential game seven than in a series sweep. If you're swept, it's like, all right, whatever. That was quick. That was easy. When you fall short with an opportunity to win the series in the same way that you can lose it, your legacy defined by game seven. Look at the Leafs this weekend. They have now lost six consecutive game sevens in their playoff organization history. They are known for being the choke artist. Now, Donnie, from the fan perspective, I think you do bring up a great point, and it kind of follows the old cliche, don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened, because you had those moments in a seven-game set where it gave you the thrill of victory, the joy of coming out on top, of being along for that journey. Another cliche, it's not the destination, it's the journey and the friends and the memories you made along the way. That is part of the beauty of reaching that seventh and final game. But the way it can end in a heart-wrenching despair, that probably leaves a longer impact on you and a more stained memory than losing quickly in a four-game sweep. Because then it's like just ripping off the Band-Aid and it's over. You're like, all right, wasn't our time. Let's get ready for next season. And then you go optimistically into the offseason having reached the postseason. If you lose in game seven, that sticks in your craw for much deeper into an offseason than ever getting swept might.
No, and you're certainly right about that. And also, sometimes you go back to those childhood memories where we've all been fans of teams that have lost somewhere along the line in seven games. One of the toughest ones I ever watched myself was 1987, Philadelphia Flyers, Edmonton Oilers, where the Flyers lost in game seven to that great Gretzky team out there on the West Coast. And by the way, the Flyers opened up that game, scored in the first 2 minutes on a power play, ended up losing like 3 or 4 to 1, but it was all said and done. That was devastating. But I remember that was pretty much peak interest for me as a Flyers fan. It was like, man, this is my favorite team now going forward. And I struggled all the way along, watched every single series, and to only find out as a young kid there, they weren't able to prevail in Edmonton in that one. That's the ones I always draw back on. But if you are a Flyers fan, or yes, you lost that. But if you're a player, like, man, Flyers haven't won a Stanley Cup since 74, 75. These players wear that here as well, only as fans going, okay, we have another 25, 30 to 40 years of fandom. Some of these players only have two or three games left in their career when it's all said and done at that point. So I do appreciate the fact that in these heightened environments as fan bases, it's so much fun to actually watch. But for the players themselves, it's got to be a completely different story. Now, if you are in that game seven and you win said game seven or that championship game, again, like Nick Foles in Philadelphia, you are a legend for the remaining parts of your career, no matter where you go. So there is a double-edged sword. You might lose terribly in that game seven or that final game, or you can be that hero and certainly play that hero's role for the rest of your life.
DRS, not a game seven, but if we're sharing childhood memories from playoff action for our teams, growing up in L.A., I was a huge Lakers fan. Early in my life, the Shaq and Kobe teams, 03-04. I tell you this story because I think you'll get a kick out of it. Not a game seven, but game number five in San Antonio, the infamous Derek Fisher shot with 0.4 seconds left. When Tim Duncan made the shot from the elbow extended, at the young age of 9 years old, or I guess I was 10 then, I was so devastated in what I thought the Lakers had lost that game against San Antonio. I ran upstairs crying, left the family room where my dad and sister were staying to watch the game. I missed the shot. I was so mad. I never saw the Derek Fisher shot live until I heard my father and my sister screaming their lungs out in exuberation because it happened, and then I ran downstairs to see it. So I thought you would just enjoy that playoff story.
Yep, and then you probably were a Clippers fan the next couple of years as they took over the city here, and then away you go at that point in your fandom. So, yeah, it's nice, by the way, to have two teams in the same town because you can always change back and forth because I know Kevin Walsh, good friend of the network, likes the Yankees.
Knew it.
The Mets are good. He likes the Mets as well. So, there you go. It's easy.
Knew it. Knew that was coming. I also thought you were going to reference the fact the Mets play in Queens, where Kev is from, and thus that is the true heart
right next
of
door.
New York City. Yeah. You know exactly how that goes. Speaking of the Mets and the Yankees, it's time to preview a Monday slate around Major League Baseball. There's a fourth game in Philly today. Who knew? We'll talk about it next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A new week in Major League Baseball, but some series that even continue from the weekend that was. I think it's fair to say, DRS, that when you think of pleasant surprises so far this Major League Baseball season in 2024, the Kansas City Royals come to mind. KC has now won 20 games so far this year. I love it because I bet the over of the Royals win total at 73.5, and Kansas City, of course, off to a really good start. A matchup of two teams from Central Divisions today at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. The Royals in the American League, the Brewers in the National League. Milwaukee played another Central team, but from the NL Central, the Cubbies, and lost the final two games of their weekend set, looking to bounce back today in KC. But the Royals, a -142 home money line favorite. Total at 8.5. How does this interleague set get started this week in KC?
Rain in the forecast said it's hopefully this game doesn't have too many breaks here and does get played because why? It's 75 degrees with a 13-mile-an-hour wind blowing out to left field. And rightfully so, the Royals should be the favorite. Now, one of my favorite guys this year early on with RBI shots has been Vinny Pasquantino, the guy that usually bats in the 3-0 as a left-handed batter for Kansas City. He's got a pretty good matchup today. So if we take a look at the pitching matchup, Bryce Wilson will be on the mound for the Milwaukee Brewers. Take a look at this. Right-handed batters, he's been really good, Ben. An 0.93 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of .236. So we want to stay away from that side. But if we focus on the left-handed batters against Bryce Wilson, he's got a .355 ISO and a .381 weighted on base percentage. So another day, another dollar here for our guy Vinny P in that three hole. I'll be betting him to get an RBI tonight. And also taking a look at Michael Massey, the second baseman here, who's got a .243 ISO and a .393 weighted on base percentage against right-handed pitching. But if we're looking from a side perspective, I told you can see why that -142 price is coming up on Kansas City. Cole Reagans this year, looking at his price here, ISO power number 069 through 158 batters here, barely giving up any extra base hits and a weighted on base percentage of .290. Also, looking at the lineup anticipated tonight for the Milwaukee Brewers against left-handed pitching this year, Hoskins, Sanchez, and Adames have had pretty good numbers with ISO power numbers. The rest of the six guys due up in the lineup tonight, terrible against lefties. Should be a Kansas City night, but Vinny P in the middle of that lineup, he's going to record an RBI for us once again, just like he did yesterday.
Now, Donnie knows I'm watching The Sopranos for the first time into season four. No spoilers, please. Yeah. DRS, a huge Sopranos guy for many, many years, over two decades. You dropped Vinny Pasquantino on me like that. I thought you were making a Sopranos reference for our guy, Vinny P. Look at you dropping that number. Truly thought that was a Sopranos reference to start.
Yeah, you want some spoilers now? I can tell you exactly where the series ended. Save you a lot of time here, Ben. A lot of time. Yeah.
IFB's out, brother. Can't hear you.
Okay.
IFB's out. Got to put it back in, though, for the nature of the show. All right, Donnie, take it. I can't find my IFB. Never mind. I got it.
Now, that would have been good, right? Yep. Now, see,
I got it.
Before you do that, I got to learn that because one time I'm going to be on the air. Like, you know, I just don't feel like being here. Hey, Ben, look at that. Take my earpiece out. Oh, can't find them. You got it, Ben. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. Tremendous. I like that.
Never forget our first week doing the early line in September when we joined the forces of the morning show. shows and it became 3 hours, DRS from TEL, me from TMA, our batteries weren't used to a 3 hour show. Our headsets both crapped out in like the final half an hour. We had to make our adjustments. So DRS, as we keep going around Major League Baseball, 10 game slate on this Monday, following the weekend, a few teams off to start off this new week. The Dodgers, of course, a huge weekend, a weekend series sweep over the Atlanta Braves at home at the Chavez Ravine. And things might even get brighter on this Monday night. The return of Walker Buehler, his first outing since June of 2022. One of the young aces of the staff in LA to start off his career. His first start in nearly two calendar years comes tonight against Miami. Minus 270. The Dodgers a hefty favorite against a bad Marlins team, but more importantly, it's the debut of Walker Buehler for the first time in nearly 2 years.
Yeah, and price points probably should be that high just on the fact that you are playing the Marlins, who are bad, and also Rodery Munoz will be on the mound. We don't have much of a backlog for him, but the one thing looks like through 12 batters, and that's it, he's faced against lefties, he struggles with them. Oof. Not a great look here when Shohei Ohtani is that left-handed batter with a 442 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 543 against right-handed pitching here. And also, if we're looking at that lineup, six out of the nine batters, extremely high ISO power numbers and weighted on-base percentages here. So if you could just take that pitcher as a right-hander as a generality, you're probably going to get some offense here, no doubt in my mind, from the Dodgers. But having said that, the Marlins bats coming into this, and let's just, again, forget about Walker Buehler and the talent that he has. Let's just say he does come right back into form. Yes, the Dodgers probably should win easy, but let's just say he's okay as a right-handed pitcher. Look at this Marlins lineup against right-handed pitching this season, Ben. Brian De La Cruz has a 247 ISO and a weighted on-base percentage of 343. That's really good. But if we just look at those ISO power numbers through the remaining parts of the lineup this year against right-handed pitching, it's been dismal. Every single one of those below that 165 price that you want to take a look at as to being higher. So it looks like a blowout is on deck. As long as Walker Buehler goes five innings, pitch three earned runs, the Dodgers probably win this going away. That's not even a great start from Walker Buehler.
The Marlins did play 12 yesterday in Oakland to snap a six-game win streak for the A's and avoid the series sweep. But again, Miami's second-worst record in all the National League, only the Rockies' worst, 10-26 for Miami. Fourth game of what was a series over the weekend, and it's always been in Philadelphia between the Phils and the Giants. An early start on getaway day, 4:06 p.m. Eastern time between the Phils and San Francisco. Philly is the hottest team in the National League. They've won five straight, greater than a $2 favorite to make it six in a row, Donnie, with Zach Wheeler on the bump today in Philly.
Yeah, good luck beating them today. And also 74 degrees, finally a little bit warmer here than over the weekend in Philadelphia. Light wind blowing out to right field shouldn't affect it all that much. But Zach Wheeler threw 170 batters he's faced this year, Ben. A 103 ISO and a 236 weighted on base percentage against a light hitting San Francisco Giants team, which based upon right-handed pitching against them this year, it hasn't been all that great for themselves. Only Yastrzemski at a 153 ISO, which is barely around average, and Terrio Estrada at 217. Everybody else below that 165 line on ISO power numbers, it doesn't work out there. The one thing that will be interesting for the Phillies is they have a great lineup here, and things are going well. But also, Trey Turner looks like he may have missed as much as 6 weeks due to that hamstring injury. Yeah. Let's see, because he was absolutely tremendous in that lineup. But as long as the Phillies are getting great pitching like they have, I don't think that matters today. Another win on deck for the Phillies? I anticipate it, absolutely.
The Fightins, the most wins in all of Major League Baseball, 24 this year for Philadelphia. A few more games on this Monday. Around the Bigs to preview up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Around Major League Baseball on this Monday, we fly through a couple of more picks, previews, and breakdowns here on the early line. To the friendly confines we go next. An Aces affair today at Wrigley. Justin Steele for Chicago. Yu Darvish on the other side for San Diego. It's a virtual pick'em DRS between the Cubbies and the Padres. Minus 112, slight favorite to Chicago at this number. Seven is the total as it's worked its way down. A virtual pick'em. Who wins today at Wrigley?
Yeah, you take a look at that 7.5-7 number, and rightfully so. You take a look immediately and say, well, where's the wind blowing out at Wrigley Field? It's not blowing out. It's blowing in at 8 miles per hour, 64 degrees. And also, you do have the Man of Steel on the mound today. That's Justin Steele. And they've been getting some really good starting pitching lately here for the Chicago Cubs to start 2024. And you take a look at Steele, we don't have a lot of backlog to work off of him. But if it's anything that what we saw last year, he's going to be pretty good. Through 716 batters last year, Ben, a 123 ISO and a 297 weighted on base percentage. That's phenomenal. And that's pitching a lot at Wrigley Field. So it tells you the type of pitcher he can possibly be. This year, leading off just like he did last year. Only 18 batters faced. And again, it's not much of a sample size, but based on last year, a 133 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 229. And looking at the Padres lineup coming into today, and something we really haven't hit on all that much, Louis Arraez getting traded from the Miami Marlins over to the Padres. Yeah. Shout out the Padres. That was a great move. Yes, they give up some prospects, but also they're still going to stay under that luxury tax level in that tax because the Marlins were picking up a lot of his contract comes right over. I think he got four hits, Ben, in game number one. The look of this lineup is really tremendous all the way through, but against left-handed pitchers, I should say, it doesn't look that great. Only two guys, Machado and Profar, for me, that are above average hitters against lefties. Everybody else in that lineup certainly struggles. If we flip it over to the other side, Yu Darvish will be on the mound through 102 batters. He's been good this year. ISO power number 141, weighted on base percentage 287. So case in point, wind blowing in, two decent pitchers here. I'll go with the under at Wrigley today.
Yeah, I think that under does come into play as well. Seven, again, is the number, dropping from 7.5. We go to the AL Central, a divisional duel. The Cleveland Guardians still sit atop the division. They had dropped two consecutive series against the Braves and against the Astros entering their weekend set against the Angels. Got blanked in their opening game, responded by winning the final two of that series against the Halos for a series victory. The Tigers struggling here as of late. An early start in Cleveland just a little bit after 6 p.m. Eastern time, and the Guardians a -120 money line favorite. Game number one of this divisional duel. Who gets a victory?
Yeah, +102 might be in the fold here for me as you take a look at the Tigers. We're going to have Jack Flaherty on the mound coming over. He's been really good for them. Last year, average at best. This year, much, much better. 147 batters he's faced, Ben. Take a look at that. ISO against him, 151. Very good. Weighted on base percentage, 288. Very good. Now, the interesting part's going to be is he's been dominant against left-handed batters, being a right-handed pitcher. He'll see a lot of lefties today. One of my favorite guys to back in this early season so far to get RBIs. That's Josh Naylor in the middle of that lineup. Did some damage once again yesterday. But if we flip it over, Tristan McKenzie is one of those guys I really like to fade, particularly when he's going up against left-handed batters. 76 left-handed batters he's faced this year. How about this? A 200 ISO and a 347 weighted on base percentage. I've been betting the Detroit Tigers a couple games this year with RBI props. And again, fits the mold. Riley Green, left-handed batter, very good against righties this year. Wensiel Perez, very good as a switch hitter against right-handed pitching. And also Kerry Carpenter. So there's a couple guys in the middle of that lineup that I would like to take. So for me, I actually think Detroit it's the better lineup today and has the better pitcher. +102, it makes sense for me.
The Twins had their 12-game win streak snapped yesterday by the Red Sox in the final game of that series. Can a new streak start today? Potentially, but the odds makers do not favor it. The Mariners with Luis Castillo on the road in Minneapolis, the favored side. Luis Castillo, DRS, has started 7 games this year for the Twins. He has earned a decision in all 7, dropped his first 4, has won his last 3, only 2 earned runs in those 3 starts.
Yeah, taking a look at the starting pitcher here, Simeon Woods Richardson on the mound. He's actually got some pretty good numbers, Ben, through 63 batters, 053 ISO, and a 288 weighted on base percentage. But yes, the focus is going to be on the opposite side with Luis Castillo. Absolutely filthy against right-handed batters, but as a right-handed pitcher, struggling a little bit this season, Ben, with lefties. That's a 269 ISO and a 411 weighted on base percentage through 80 batters here. You're going to get a lot of lefties in that lineup today for the Minnesota Twins. Krylov, Julian, and also Larnach look to be in that RBI pool for me today. Should be a good one out there, but Castillo, a little bit of damage done against lefties. We'll see if those lefties can show up today for the Twins.
The Rangers won their weekend series in Kansas City. The A's did the same in their weekend set against Miami. Oakland won 6 straight. That was snapped yesterday. The Athletics in this divisional duel, a home underdog today by the Bay against the Rangers. The prop perspective on this Monday up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The jack of all trades on display once again on this Monday. It's time for Tom Vecchio's Prop Perspective, joining us on behalf of FanDuel to start off this new week on the early line. A sampling of Stanley Cup playoff action into the NBA postseason, now fully into round number two. Maybe a Major League Baseball thought or two before we finish off this segment as well. Vecchio, hope the weekend was great. Thanks for joining us here on this Monday.
Thanks for having me. Weekend was great. Rangers picked up the win yesterday. I was 5-0 last week on this show. I was 4-0 the week before. Obviously, that means probably due for a little bit of regression, but we look to keep the ball rolling today. I'm ready to go.
I'm just glad I was not the cooler after what you said entering last week's five-pick slate. Perfect. 9-0 the last 2 weeks, whether it's Davis Maddock or Ben Stevens. You know Donnie Wrightside is always going to be there. Vecchio, let's look back finally on the weekend that was in the Stanley Cup postseason. Game 7 yesterday in Dallas between the Stars and the Golden Knights. Dallas sends the reigning champs, Vegas, packing in a 7th game. 2-1 the victory for Dallas, who was in an 0-2 hole after dropping their first two games at home to respond in Las Vegas and win their final two games in Dallas as well. How did the Stars survive this series and bounce back from the 0-2 hole to start?
You know, I want to say it's kind of what I spoke about, you know, in terms of Dallas from the beginning of the season. They are super deep down the middle. They have great forward depth. They're great on defense. And Jake Onger is just an absolute rock in net. And, you know, they kind of put it all together. And, yeah, a few slow games to start the postseason. Obviously, I don't want to see that when I have a ticket at 11-1. But they rounded into form, you know, checking off every box, as I've said. And it's not going to be an easy path going forward. Going up against the Avs, that series is going to be an absolute war. And if they can get past that, I assume we'll probably be going up against the Oilers in the conference finals. Another tough matchup. You know, glad to see them move through, but not easy from here.
How about the Rangers? 4-3 victory in their game number one of their series against the Carolina Hurricanes. And the interesting part about this, Tom, as we know, the Rangers, the most points in the NHL, didn't matter for the odds makers heading into the series, who had the Carolina Hurricanes as a favorite here. But the Rangers pull up 4-3 here, 1-0 series lead. Big W for the Rangers here to start this series out.
Yeah, absolutely. And in terms of game two, I would immediately side with the under. Too many goals. These are two great defensive teams. And the one thing I would note is that the Canes have always been one of the best teams of the past few years in terms of total shot attempts created, shots on goal. They did outshoot the Rangers 25-23, but they only had 12 shots on goal over the first two periods. They kind of picked it up as of late. They were trailing, no surprise. So the Canes have to come out starting, you know, on offense, offensive first. In that game two, Sebastian Aho, their top line center, only had one shot on goal in game one. Over 2.5 shots on goal is sitting at -102 for game two. They have to get the offense going for the Canes in game two.
It's a Monday prop perspective, but already a look at a Tuesday night slate and game two in the Garden. The Canes now the series underdogs, but favored for game number two, -118, a road ice favorite on that money line. Total at 5.5 between the Rangers and the Hurricanes. So that was the first game of round number two in the Stanley Cup postseason yesterday. But Vecchio, as you see the playoff bracket moving here in the National Hockey League, which series are you most excited by and can we look the most forward to here in round number two?
It's got to be Dallas and Colorado just because they're division rivals, as you know most of these teams are. But just the way they play, we have an amazing defense with Dallas, as I said, and obviously the Avs are unbelievable on offense. They played against the Jets in round one, who led the fewest goals throughout the regular season, yet they posted 5 goals in every single game. So defense really doesn't matter. You know, what we see from Alexander Georgiev is going to be the determining factor if the Avs can hang in that series. And then Boston versus Florida. We know what, you know, Boston collapsing last year, up 3-1, Florida pushing to the Stanley Cup Finals. Obviously, Florida the first year, we're in for a great second round.
5 teams under 10-1 to win the Stanley Cup, which means there has to be a favorite right now. And on the FanDuel Sportsbook, it's the Edmonton Oilers at a +430 price, followed by the Panthers, Stars, Hurricanes, and Rangers. There's a lot of talent on those teams here in that top 5, but also very close and compact. Who's the leader in the clubhouse for Tom Vecchio right now for Stanley Cup?
Well, it's not the Oilers, and I've said this about them before. As long as they have Stuart Skinner in net, I'm not going to be worried about them. He's a fine goalie, but he's just not the type of goalie that is going to be winning you a Stanley Cup. It has to be the Stars. If it's the Stars or the Panthers, those are the, from a betting perspective, that's where you'd be going. I think the Panthers take care of business. They're just a better team than they were last year. They're better than the Bruins. I think they move on. The Stars, I got to stick with that pick from the preseason. They have everything you possibly want. I think the goaltending, like I said, with the Avs, that's going to be their downfall. They can score with everyone, but if they're going to be giving up 7 goals a game, they're just not going to be getting too far.
Yeah, the Western Conference is a gauntlet. Even if Edmonton is not deserving of being the favorite, they are the Cup favorites at this moment. You mentioned Florida getting past the Boston Bruins. That could start tonight in Sunrise. Game number one of this second round set, minus 166 in favor of Florida on home ice. What's the best play here for the opening game of this second round series?
That's going to Sam Reinhart for the Panthers, over 2.5 shots on goal. It's sitting at minus 148, but through the first round, he led the team with 23 shots on goal in the 5 games. He hit the over in all 5 games. An immense goal scorer. I wouldn't look to his goal prop just because goals are variable in the postseason, but the pressure should be there. You know, the Bruins, they played on Saturday night. Meanwhile, the Panthers are coming off of multiple days of rest, so they should come out firing. They should look to jump on a team that's coming off a 7-game series. Like, it's all in favor of the Panthers to start this series.
You take a look at this early series, too, between Boston and Florida. Heavy favorite tonight for Florida at minus 166. My question also is the total here listed at 5.5. Are we looking at goals tonight in this option between Boston and Florida, or maybe an underlook in this one?
I would certainly side with the over, at least in the first few games, but I think that will tighten up as the series goes on. Bobrovsky has been fantastic this year. Jeremy Swayman was awesome in the games that he started for the Bruins. So, you know, seeing a few early goals, you know, maybe a game ending 5-2, I wouldn't be a surprise. But as we move on, some 2-1 finals is probably what we should be expecting.
So from the ice to the hardwood, it's game number one tonight inside Madison Square Garden between the Knicks and the Pacers. New York now a 5.5-point home favorite inside MSG. The total at 217.5. Vecchio, I always love asking you, what do you expect the game flow to look like based on the numbers? So a 5.5-point spread in favor of New York. Total at 217.5. Both of these teams winning their opening round series in 6 games. What is your expectation for game number one tonight?
I think the series and this game comes down to a few things. Number one, what does the Knicks offense look like when Jalen Brunson is off the court? Because it looks completely different compared to when he's on the court. And whose style are they going to be playing? The Pacers want to get out and run. Can the Knicks drag them down to play their style of game, which are games ending, you know, 98-94? If the Knicks can drag them down, they have a much better chance in this series, because if this turns into a high-scoring shootout, the Pacers have that offense, which the Knicks don't necessarily have, especially when Brunson's off the court. So if we're going to be seeing a little bit of scoring early, I want to be going to some players, but ultimately I still want to be banking on regression. So I know there's a lot going on here. Miles Turner under 1.5 threes at plus 144. He's simply too hot from the field. He shot 43.9% in the first round. Meanwhile, about regular season, he shot 35%. So yes, I expect some scoring overall, but it's not going to be coming from Miles Turner. A center is not going to be hitting threes at this clip. So we're going to see him from Haliburton. Wouldn't be surprised to see some big games from Obi Toppin going against his former team. That's where we look for scoring, not Miles Turner.
Taking a look here at Timberwolves Nuggets here in the nightcap. A 6-point favorite overnight has now dropped to 5.5 in a total of 208. Could it be the T-Wolves, Tom? A 2-0 series lead over the Nuggets? What happens tonight?
We're going to see a bounce back from the Nuggets. And honestly, my favorite spot to be going is for a rebounding prop. They got out-rebounded in game one, 42-34. If that continues, the Timberwolves certainly have the advantage. So we got to look to Aaron Gordon, over 6.5 rebounds. He's averaging 8.7 throughout the playoffs. He ended game one with just 3 rebounds. That's simply not good enough. And they're going to need him and Michael Porter Jr. to step up. So if interest in Aaron Gordon, I will also say Jokic triple-double plus Denver win is sitting at plus 240. I think that's certainly in play as well. And a baseball prop, Vinny Pasquantino and the Royals, 2+ total bases at plus 115.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's Did you Vinny hear P it? Right there, pal. Vinny
Everybody's
P.
on board with Vinny P.
Vinny P, P. Yep, makes everybody. The card for Tom Vecchio. Vecchio, did you watch The Sopranos?
I've seen it multiple times. I'm actually in the middle of rewatching for the third time, starting season 5.
Wow.
Vinny Pasquantino. We love it, Vecchio. Thank you, as always. We preview the NBA slate next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
The NBA playoffs has reached the conference semifinals or round number two. All four series now in the second round. The final eight in the association. And game number one of round number two in the Eastern Conference begins tonight inside Madison Square Garden. It's the Knicks and the Pacers. The first game of two, a doubleheader on this Monday night. Earlier on this Monday morning, DRS, New York was a 6-point home favorite for this opening game against Indiana. Total was at 217.5. The over-under remains the same, but a little bit of market movement back to Indiana's side of things. Now a 5.5-point spread in favor of New York. What is your first thought when you start to handicap this first game tonight inside MSG?
Yeah, if we're taking a look around, 6 points here, it's probably going to be leaning on the underdog just because you had an exciting series on both sides of it. And we talked about, Coach, how these two teams got here. For Indiana, even though it did go six games, just like the New York Knicks went six games against the Philadelphia 76ers, it felt like an easier six games for the Indiana Pacers. Like, okay, we're supposed to beat this team. Doc Rivers, as we laugh, is the head coach. Giannis didn't even show up in the series, and Dame Lillard was banged up for most of it here. You figure that they were going to win the series heading into it, but the Sixers-Knicks was a slugfest. We saw before game number one, what was that series price, Ben? -110 a piece here, a de facto pick'em, and you got great games and crazy games all the way through, right up through game six. So my question is going to be is, yes, the Garden is going to be tremendous tonight. They're going to be excited, and both of these teams expected to be in round number two. When you took a look at like a betting strategy on this, I like the points in this, but also we said so many times last series, right? Like Jalen Brunson, is going to shoot 25 times, every single game. Now, a new opponent, it's going to be a new way to look at things, and maybe the defensive structures are a little bit different, and maybe some of the other players outside of Brunson can get involved in the mix. Like, I'm actually thinking about getting back involved with Dante DiVincenzo tonight because I don't think the defense end or the tempo is going to be as slow as maybe as it was against the Philadelphia 76ers. We know the Pacers would like to get out and run a little bit, but the question is going to be is how much is enough and what that price point is going to be on superstar Jalen Brunson. We're no longer talking about Ben 27.5, 28.5, 29.5 points. It's 35.5 tonight as his points prop. So basically you're saying like Brunson's got to get 40 for me to cash in, which is a great game. Can he do that and shoot a lot? Absolutely. But that's one of those bets that may be priced just a little bit too high for me to take, even though I do think he has a good game. So those secondary options with a little bit more tempo where we were seeing games, the Sixers, 200, 202.5, 203.5, at least we're around that 220 range, which I do think adds some points. So I'm looking at those secondary options for the New York Knicks, as opposed to just laying the wood with Brunson, who again needs 36 points in a playoff game in game number one of a series where two teams are learning each other out in order to cash in that ticket. A little bit too high for me.
Right. When you look at Jalen Brunson, DRS, you're right. The points prop is a premium, 35.5. It was 33.5 in a board that we showed earlier on the early line. The expectation is there for Brunson. I would still love the field goal attempts prop. He never took less than 26 shots in that six-game series against the Philadelphia 76ers. That is not available. But again, I ask, do the New York Knicks win this game comfortably and cover as a 5.5-point home favorite if Brunson doesn't score 35? He could go under by the hook. I don't think so, Donnie. That is their offense. It is solo ball at times with Jalen Brunson. And it might be frustrating because you would expect more movement, but Jalen Brunson continues to score at least 30, 40-point performance after 40-point performance in that opening round series against Philadelphia. Your guy, Tay-Tay, did come to life in game number six, by far his best game of that opening round series against the 76ers, hitting five triples. Now, I do want to go to the total for tonight, 217 and a hook. When you look at Indiana in their opening round series against Milwaukee, we shared it every time. All four wins for the Pacers in that series, four overs in those games. The Pacers live up to their name. They play at a high pace. They scored at least 120 in all four victories against the Bucks. Sure, game three was in overtime, but still at least 120. Tonight's total of 217.5 is by far the highest number the New York Knicks have seen here in the postseason. No total in the opening round series against Philadelphia was greater than 210. This is 217.5. And you still might be thinking to yourselves, I know Tom Thibodeau basketball. I know they want to grind it out and win this game 95-90. Not actually so much down the home stretch, as the New York Knicks were playing good ball, earning the number two seed, and of course a series victory in six games against Philadelphia. New York went over in four of the six against the 76ers. The Knickerbockers have gone over DRS, dating back to regular season hoops, which again is a different story, but dating back to the regular season, the Knicks have gone over in 15 of their last 19 games. This could be another over tonight if Indiana continues to play with that up-tempo pace.
It'd be interesting to see, too, because when you're heading into the playoffs, right, the caveat now is you have the play-in rounds, which means if you're not in it, which, you know, the take a look at, like, the Pacers and or the New York Knicks, where they're saying to themselves, well, you know what, we don't have to play those one or two games before it starts, and you get roughly a week off here. You don't get that week off here, which means you still should be in rhythm in game number one. And also, I've talked about this multiple times. In a seven-game series, the totals where you want to bet over, Ben, are where? Early in the process where we don't have elimination games, because once you start to get to those elimination games, things really ratchet up on the defensive end, because every single possession right. means so much. It could mean you actually moving on the playoffs or you being sent home out of the playoffs at this point. So totals, if you're looking for overs, get them earlier in the series, because also you're not used to the way the other teams play. By game three or four, Ben, you know every single set the other team is actually drawing up and what they actually want. Oh, look, Brunson wants to get to a spot at the elbow. Well, stopping him is a little bit harder to do that, but at least you know where he wants to go, and you're used to the flow of the game tape here by the Knicks. So one overs for me early in the season, or excuse me, early in the series, unders a little bit later in the series.
If it does stay under 217.5, it is going to plummet for game number two inside Madison Square Garden between the Knicks and the Pacers. That game two comes our way on Wednesday night inside the world's most famous arena. We will look at the second game of a doubleheader tonight out in Denver between the Nuggets and the Timberwolves up next. It's a 5.5-point spread in favor of Denver. I think it's fair to say, DRS, and we'll get your thoughts about this game and the handicap on the other side, the 5.5-point spread that's actually a greater spread in favor of Denver than game number one is a clear indication it's must win, can't lose tonight in a Mile High City for the Nuggets. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's game number two of the second round series in the Western Conference between the Denver Nuggets and the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it's already must-win territory for the reigning NBA champs, the Nuggets, at home. Reflected in the odds, a 5.5-point spread in favor of Denver. Donnie, when we started today's show on the early line just a little bit less than 3 hours ago, that total, as you see, was 205 in a hook. It is already up by 2.5 points. 208 is the new over-under for game two tonight at altitude.
Yeah, and I actually like that, though, because I do believe that if this game is going to go over, you need a much better performance out of the Denver Nuggets, particularly on offense. It's not so much like, let's get defense in here in 105-104 final. Stop the madness here. If you're Denver, that offense has to flow tonight, and I expect some big performances, some guys that didn't have big performances in game number one, which, again, if we're leading into the handicap of this game, it's all hands on deck in Denver. But also, it's not really one of those points that's like, okay, they have to win this game. Yes, they know they have to win this game. If they do lose it, there's probably a chance they're not going to survive. But having said that, if there's a team that needs a win at home who knows how to win here, isn't it the Denver Nuggets? Like, are they going to be panicked? Like, oh my God, we lost game number one. Anthony Edwards was tremendous. There's nothing we can do in game number two. They got a great coaching staff and great players on their team and an unbelievable home court advantage. So starting there, I would actually be mildly surprised if Denver does go down 0-2. I think we're in for a big performance out of the Denver Nuggets on offense tonight.
For the first time in its six playoff games, in game one of this series this year, the Nuggets had a lead at the break. in a low-scoring opening half, 44-40. Then we saw Minnesota score 66 in the second half, and Denver poured in 55 as well. But ultimately, Minnesota did win outright as a 4.5-point underdog. The Timberwolves have been an underdog in games 3-4 of their opening series in Phoenix and in game one here. So three consecutive games, and the T-Wolves have won outright in their last three. Anthony Edwards, his points prop for tonight, I believe I saw it at 27.5. I will double check that number, but he has scored 40 plus in each of the last two games for the T-Wolves. In the closeout game number 4 against Phoenix, 28.5 is the number for the Ant-Man. 28.5 the points prop, 40 in game number 4 against Phoenix, of course 43 to lead all scorers in game number 1. Nikola Jokic, 32 points, 9 dimes, 8 rebounds in game number 1, hoping to get some more help from guys like Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, and namely Jamal Murray in game number 2. Again, I like the total tonight. Bet it at 205.5 earlier this morning. It's now at 208. Denver is now the series underdog. They were a greater than $2 favorite to win the series outright before the opening game on Saturday night in the Mile High City. If you believe Denver, as the odds expect, does bounce back tonight, then there's a lot of value on the Nuggets in that series price.
Yes, there is, and I do believe that's probably the right way to go, but also that little contrarian in me goes like, hold on for one more night. Let's see if Minnesota can win this, because then you'd really love the Nuggets. The Nuggets aren't going out like punks here, like a four-game sweep or even a gentleman sweep. If that happens here, I do believe it'll be a longer series, and you're going to get a really nice price from them. But having said that, look at the FanDuel Sportsbook, the way they're pricing Nikola Jokic. 29.5 is his points prop. So many times during the regular season, Ben, where was he at? 23.5, 24.5, maybe 25 points. So we're looking for one of those games where he knows he has to be the big guy, which also means his numbers are a little bit lower tonight for a triple-double at a plus 180 price, which just dropped to plus 175 as I'm watching live right now. I think we do get an unbelievable performance out of Jokic tonight, and that triple-double makes sense to me, Ben. Yeah.
Yeah, has to be for Nikola Jokic and Denver tonight in game number 2. Let's give you a best bet on this Monday. Before we say farewell and goodbye, it is time for bye-bye-bye. I mean, I already know what the squad best bet is. Our guy, Vinny Pasquantino, Vinny P today in KC. 2+ total bases and RBI today in the game for the Royals against the Brewers. Anything else you would care to share?
Yeah, also, Adolis Garcia tonight, 281 ISO power, number 429 weighted on base percentage against left-handed pitching, who Alex Wood is a left-handed pitcher tonight for Oakland. He can't get right-handed batters out. Plus 125 price right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook for Garcia to record an RBI. He gets that tonight, Ben.
So I told you in the NBA, I bet the over of 205 and a hook earlier this morning because it was off by 4 points from the game one line. The market has reset 208, now 207.5 between the Timberwolves and the Nuggets. I also looked to the opening game of the doubleheader tonight. Our guy, Deuce McBride, did not come up in the way we expected in game 6 in Philadelphia. Less than 10 minutes played. His points prop tonight is 9.5. The over is even money at plus 100. JY described how critical the depth would be for the Knicks in this series. I expect him to get to double digits tonight. He's Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. We'll see you tomorrow, a Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern, live right here on the Early Line.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffee house home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.